Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome back from spring break. All you who went on spring break, show us some love. Put your hands up. All right, so many of you. I think there was like over 120. That's awesome. It's great to have you back. It is awesome for everyone to be gathered here this morning. It matters that you are here. We are the church when we gather and when we are spread apart. And it is made up of men and women, kids of all ages, and it is an awesome thing to be able to come together on a Sunday morning as the church. And so one thing I wanted to start with this morning is yesterday there were reports of a shooting on campus. It turned out that those were false, and we are grateful that each and every one of you is safe. But we do want to say that for some of you, I imagine that was probably harder to go through, and especially if you were involved in the areas of campus that were being cleared by the police. And so if there's something that you need to talk with someone further about, we'd love for you to find a staff or a pastor. Find me after the service. We can talk. The other thing is, if you just want prayer, in our next part of this service today, we have prayer ministers during the songs that are going to be coming later. And you could get prayer if you want prayer. We know that can be a disturbing thing. When the news broke, it was really challenging. And we're just grateful that it was false and that all of you are safe. So if you need help in that area or want to talk, we'd love to minister to you today in that way. We are in this series, In Remembrance of Me, and the focus of our series is the communion table. That's why we have this up here in front. And we are taking communion each and every week all the way through this series through Easter. And as we look at this, if you missed last week's sermon, we encourage you to go online, find that. You can find it on Apple iTunes too, as well as listen to last week's. It gives you a really good framework of where we're going and what this is all about. And what we learned last week in Kyle's teaching is that the community, or this table, we experience worship at this table, we experience community, and it also prepares us for mission, where we're going. And as we look at this through the rest of the series, we're going to be looking at how in different ways Jesus is the fulfillment of salvation history, and how the fulfillment is uniquely portrayed in different ways, in different aspects of this communion table. And that's what we're going to be focused on. And this is the season of Lent. So this is our sermon series for the season of Lent, which is 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter, cutting out Sundays. They don't count in that total. And in this season, it's a season where we're preparing our hearts and our minds for the celebration of Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And often what happens in this season is people will fast. That's something that people associate most often with food when we think about fasting. And we encourage, if you want to fast in this season, go for it. But we would say that for many who have complicated or harmful relationships with food or body image, that there are other ways to fast to connect with God. In fact, we would caution all of you who, if you have had issues with food or disordered eating in the past, there are so many other ways to fast to engage with God. The other ways of fasting could be simple as setting aside entertainment or podcasts or social media, television, caffeine, alcohol, sports. For some of you who love March Madness, you're like, really? Maybe. Maybe books. Don't get rid of textbooks if you're in the season. don't put that one on me. Pastor said. All right. The point of this, though, is abstaining and setting something aside during the season of Lent where you're fasting from that to help redirect your focus to Jesus. And whether you choose to fast from something or not, I would just encourage all of us to just take notice of those moments when you realize you're just not as centered or focused on Christ. In those moments, don't beat yourself up. I would just encourage you to start right there and just give thanks for who he is and what he's done in your life, and then let that flow into just prayer with Jesus, embracing his grace again in those moments. And so today we're going to continue looking at the ways Jesus fulfills salvation history. And we're going to be looking at Jesus today as our deliverer and how that is uniquely represented and tied into this table. And so before I go any further, let me pray. Jesus, I thank you that you are our deliverer. God, I ask that through this season and this series, Lord, would you increase our hunger and our thirst for your table together. And Lord, my prayer is that today someone would walk out of here seeing you as their deliverer for the first time or again where you are needed. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So this story that we're looking at of the communion table, this is part of a bigger meal. We remember it like this, often here together with just bread and a cup of wine or juice, in this case juice, in our church. But this was just elements of a much bigger meal that this was a part of, where Jesus took these and said, do this in remembrance of me. And that meal was called Passover. And Passover, to understand it, you've got to go way back in history to when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt. And so we're jumping back to Exodus chapter 12. And it starts here, and it says, while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. It says, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. And I want you to catch that right there. Like this, what he's about to do is so impacting, so changing, that I'm going to now name this month the first month of your calendar year. And that was March or April, sometime in there, is where this month lands. And God is coming to his people and saying, this is now your first month, that what we're going to do, what you're going to experience, what I'm going to do for you in deliverance, I want to be the first month of the year. I want that to set the tone all year long of how you interact with me. This is profound. And here's what he ends up telling them to do. He says, what you're going to do is on the 10th day of the month, you're going to pick a lamb that is spotless, without blemish, perfect. And you're going to take that lamb and you're going to care for it for the next 4 days. And often they would bring it into their house to protect it, make sure nothing happened to it. It's like part of the family. You're welcoming this lamb into your home, into your life, the lives and rhythms of your house for 4 days. And then at the end of 4 days, and you can imagine, maybe even the little kids are like, I love this little lamb. And then at the end of 4 days, they slaughter it. So sad. They slaughter the lamb at the end of 4 days. And then here's what he says. You're going to take some of the blood and you're going to wipe it on the doorposts of your house with a hyssop branch on each side and then across the top. So you're going to cover the door frame, sides and top, with the blood of this lamb. And then you're to roast it. He gave instructions on cooking. You're not to eat it raw like some of the Egyptians would do with their animal sacrifice to their gods. And you're not to boil it, because then it would just kind of fall apart and it's just meat. Like, I want it roasted so that when you set it on the table to eat, you recognize the life form, that this was a lamb. Like, it was a body and it was given, and its blood is here. And then he goes on with this. He gives instructions that these are the instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. And so this happened in the evenings when they would slaughter it and put the blood on the doorframe, and then they were to eat this meal, but they were to act like they're ready to go. Stay dressed. Don't relax and recline. Don't feed yourself full and then like pass out like Thanksgiving. Like, you're ready to go. We're doing something here. And on that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. And what I never really understood until studying this out in the last couple weeks is that when he was doing that, like the firstborn of the Pharaoh was literally seen as like the next god being raised up in their midst. And a lot of the worship of their gods in Egypt was tied in with animals. And so taking out the firstborn of even all the livestock was God executing judgment on their gods, showing that, hey, nothing that you worship can touch me. I am the true God, the one that created all this. And he said he was going to do this. And then it says, but the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking the houses where you are staying. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember each year from generation to generation, and you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all of time. And if you can just enter into this with me for a minute, the story, imagine if this was happening, because the Egyptians had lived in this land for like 400 years at this point, and they're wanting deliverance, they're in slavery, and then all of a sudden they hear about this Moses who shows up on the scene. He's been gone for like 40 years. We knew of him. He grew up in the Pharaoh's house, but he's been gone, and all of a sudden he shows up. And we don't know if it's been like, we don't know here, if it's been weeks or months. But what's been happening is Moses has met with the Israelite leaders, and he and his brother keep going to the Pharaoh, and they say, let my people go. Let God's people go to worship him in the land. And the Pharaoh says no, and he says, I'm going to give you a sign that you should let my people go. And he does this 9 times. And you know what's happened? Every single time Whatever Moses says happens. The river turned to blood. Gnats showed up. Frogs took over the land. Hail killed a bunch of our animals. Darkness showed up in the middle of the day. It's crazy. And now what we've been told is that he's going to kill the firstborn sons and the firstborn animals in all of Egypt. And I have a son. My son's 5 years old. His name's Zechariah. He's my firstborn son. And if this was me and I'm in this story, I'm thinking, get a spotless lamb on the 10th day. Done. I'm getting the best lamb there is. There won't be blemish, nothing. I'm taking this lamb. Why? Because he's coming and he's taking out all the firstborns, but he has provided a way for my son to be delivered. You think I'm going to miss that? No way. I'm finding this lamb. I'm protecting this thing for 4 days. This is the best lamb. We love you all 4 days. This is great. And then on the twilight of the fourth day, I love you even more. You're gone. Because I'm taking this blood, and I'm not like, I'm going to paint this thing. Like, it is going to be so red. It's not going to be missed. And then I'm eating this meal, and I'm filled, and I'm thankful for what God has provided, this deliverer, this lamb, that is his blood is shed for me, for my son. And then I'm freaked out. Because I know 9 times God said, and 9 times it happened, and death is coming tonight. Oh God, pass over my house. God, pass over my son. Do you see this? And at midnight, death came. And it says they heard the cries and the wailing. And the Egyptians basically at that point said, get out of our land. And they let him go. God used the Passover to deliver his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, into his promises, and ultimately to the promised land. It is an unbelievable story. And God protected his people and his firstborn kids by giving a lamb, the lamb for them. And they were to do this, eat this meal in remembrance every single year on what was now the first month of the year. Your calendars changed. And they did this every single time. And there were seasons where they forgot and God would bring them back. But this was what they were to do, to remember what God has done. And this carried on for hundreds of years, over 1,000 years, until a guy by the name of John the Baptist comes on the scene. And he's walking around and he's telling everyone that behold, the kingdom of God is near, and he's preaching, he's baptizing people for preparation of the kingdom. And people are like, are you the Messiah? Are you the anointed one? Are you the one that is to come and deliver and save us from all of Israel, from all our enemies? And John says, no. And they're like, well, who are you? He says, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And he says, but there's one amidst you already, probably in the crowd that you don't even recognize. And his sandals, I'm not even worthy to untie. And it says that the very next day, John looked and he saw Jesus coming to him, and this is what he said. An introduction is a powerful moment. When you have a moment to introduce someone else that you know and they don't know, and what you say about them is a powerful thing. And this is John the Baptist, the voice, the messenger of God, who's going to introduce who this person is to all of Israel. And these are the words that I believe through the Holy Spirit's leading he chose. Look, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Because in that moment, it wasn't like, oh, cute, he's cuddly. No, like they would have instantly connected deliverer. This is our deliverer. That would have got people's attentions. And what's crazy is I've read this so many times and I didn't really even notice. I know he says it twice, but I didn't realize this happened the next day too. Like John the Baptist, it says the following day, John was again standing with the two of his disciples, and he said, as Jesus walked by, look, there is the Lamb of God. And upon hearing this for the second time in a row, two of his disciples go, all right, we'll follow him. One of those guys' names was Andrew. Andrew had a brother named Peter. Andrew went and found his brother and said, I think we have found him. We have found the deliverer, the Messiah, the long-awaited Savior, the Lamb of God. And they became two of the first followers of Christ, who became apostles with him. And this understanding of Jesus as the Lamb permeates the New Testament. It carries all through the rest of Scripture. We just appointed Ryan as a deacon. And the first deacons, or the proto-deacons that were mentioned, happened in the book of Acts. One of those was Philip. And Philip, as a deacon, he was led by the Holy Spirit to head south on the road one day to Emmaus. And as he's walking along, there's a chariot, and he goes over to it because the Spirit tells him to, and he sees there's a eunuch reading Scripture in there. And this is the exact passage that that eunuch was reading. He says, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. And then he went on, and the eunuch asked Philip, walking next to him, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this very scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. That Jesus is this lamb who is led to the slaughter, who is silent like before the shears. That Jesus was the Lamb of God. Paul himself, who wrote almost half the New Testament in terms of books, said it most succinctly, Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed for us. Peter, one of the first followers of Christ, whose brother heard it from John the Baptist, and then they began following. Peter wrote a letter to the church, and he said this, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. And this continues throughout, all the way even to John, the Apostle John, who at the end of his life had a revelation. That's the name of the book. He saw into heaven. He had a vision. We don't know if he was just a vision or he was taken there or what, but he could see into heaven what was happening. And this was like 50, 60 years after Christ had lived and died and was buried and rose from the dead and ascended to heaven. And John is seeing this 50 years later, and he looks and he says that he saw an angel, a strong angel, holding a scroll. And he was holding it. Who can open this? And no one could open it. And John, it says he began weeping over this. Like, no one is able to open this scroll. What's going on? And they said, don't weep. Because the Lion of Judah, who sits on the throne of David, has the victory. He is worthy to open it. And then it says John looked to where he would see this Lion of Judah, but it says that, then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. He was looking at Jesus, and this is what he looked like. A lamb who looked as if it had been slaughtered. And it says he took the scroll and everyone fell down and worshiped the Lamb of God. And I want you to hear this. I don't have verses for you here. I just want you to take this in. Imagine that moment of John being caught up in heaven, and he sees the slaughtered Lamb of God, and then he hears all the people say this, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it, for you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God, and every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. And then it says, I looked again and I heard voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders. And they sang a mighty chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who has been slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. I've never stood in a crowd that big. The big house is the biggest crowd I've been in. And I've stood in there when that place sang. And it was moving. And this is like hundreds of times that John is experiencing, and this is what they're singing. And then it says he heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living beings said, amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. They worshiped the Lamb. in heaven. It is so awesome. And John's vision didn't stop there. That's what he saw like 50 years after Christ. And then he saw into the future, and he saw when armies were going to gather around against God. And you know what it says? It says that the Lamb will defeat them. The Lamb, not the line of Judah. It says the Lamb will defeat them. And the Lamb's book of life was brought out for all those who have not followed God or chosen the Lamb but rebelled against him. It says they are ushered out of his presence forever, the second death. But those who have chosen the Lamb, just like in the Old Testament, in the Passover story where you had to choose a lamb, those who have chosen the Lamb of God to be their lamb, their names are recorded in the Lamb's book of life. And they will be with him forever. And the last chapter of the Bible begins with this. It says, "And then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, crystal as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face." That's the future. It is so incredible. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slaughtered to deliver you from your sins and death. Jesus, the Lamb of God, was slaughtered to deliver you from your sins and death. And my question is, in light of all of this, how does it feel to know that God was planning your deliverance thousands of years before you were ever born? Your deliverance in the Lamb of God was set up in a story and a picture thousands of years before you ever existed. And when you stop and consider this story, his story, Jesus, the spotless Lamb without defect who was killed for you, his blood that's painted not on a doorframe of a house, but on the cross that you deserve. How do you feel? Because the Passover lamb was a long foreshadowing of Jesus, the ultimate Lamb of God who is to be sacrificed for us, the perfect spotless lamb without blemish or fault who died for our sins, whose body was broken and whose blood was shed on our behalf. And at this table, we get to remember past, present, and future. We get to look back and remember the story of the original Passover and how Jesus himself is the Lamb of God for us. That he was literally bringing us into remembrance with these, knowing that he would be the lamb the next day slaughtered on the cross and his blood shed for us. He is the Lamb of God who sits on the throne even today, and his spirit is in our midst. He is in us who believe. And he is the Lamb who will defeat everyone in the final battle and who will reign on the throne forever. We experience this, and we experience the Lamb as a part of it. The Lamb came to set you free. My question is he your Lamb? Just as they were asked to choose a Lamb, have you chosen and made Jesus your Lamb? Do you see your need for a deliverer in your own life? Each and every one of us, we need the Lamb of God. We need his deliverance from sin, and ultimately, he is the only lamb, the only sacrifice that will not be a Passover of death for just the firstborn, but where death itself has no sting for any of us. Because he went to the grave for us. And he rose from the dead, defeating it. And it's through his sacrifice for us and the shedding of his blood that we are made free. And I encourage you, if you have wandered from Christ, would you choose him again today? And if you have been holding out for whatever it is, he wants you to be a part of his family. He wants you to choose him as his, as your lamb. That it won't be you having to pay your death, that he already paid it for you. You just have to embrace it, accept him and what he has done, Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, and say, "I need you in my life. I want to follow you. You are my King." And give him thanks for what he's done. And today, we're going to be taking communion, and I want you to as we go a part of this, could you have it be maybe just a little bit different today? Would you reflect and remember that because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, our deliverer, would you remember this, that you are no longer slaves to sin and that death has passed you by? That when you come to the table, would you remember that you are no longer a slave to sin and death has passed you by because of our deliverer, Jesus, the Lamb of God? I'm going to pray as the band comes forward and we move to the next part. Jesus, I thank you. God, I thank you for your wisdom and just how amazing it is that you gave your people deliverance from Egypt. That you did it with a changing of the month and a setting up of a meal. All that foreshadowed the ultimate of your son coming, Lord. That the lamb you gave to them was a Passover for all their sons to be saved. And then in turn, you chose to put all of our sin on your son, that he would be the lamb who would die for us. Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise. And Lord, we ask that your spirit would be here in this moment. Lord, be our deliverer right now. In your name, Jesus, amen. And if you have accepted Christ either now or before, consider yourself a follower of Christ, we encourage you to be a part of communion today. We have tables in the front and the back. It's all gluten-free. We'd ask you to come and you just take a part of the bread, a piece of the bread, where Christ in that meal, the Passover meal, took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he gave it and said, "This is my blood poured out for you." All events that would literally happen the next day as he, the Lamb of God, went through this for us. So we invite you to take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice, and partake. And we have prayer ministers available in the front and back if you want prayer as well.